Praise the Lord, everybody. For over an hour, we have worshiped the Lord. You have entertained the Almighty God. And angels have been looking into this curiously. They're not familiar with it, even though they've seen it over and over again. It'd just be kind of like watching somebody eat a T-bone steak and you've never had one. It wouldn't matter how many times you've watched them eat it. You'd always wonder, I wonder what that tastes like. I wonder what the presence of God tastes like, because they've been redeemed by the blood. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm excited about what's happening. I am in complete agreement, harmony, kindred spirit, however you want to describe it, with the way this church operates, your vision. I travel frequently around the country, overseas occasionally, but mainly domestically. I've been in small, medium, and large churches. I've been in various demographic areas. The churches like this one are the churches that are progressing, and the churches that are preparing themselves better than any other for the rapture of the church. You are multicultural. You are a worshiping church. You believe it ought to be the norm to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, to have people get the Holy Ghost before the preaching, during the preaching, after the preaching. Amen. It's not a thing for you to say, well, bless God, we shouted so much, the preacher didn't get to preach. Because it's become the norm for you. It didn't say natural. The norm to magnify God with all of your heart, knowing that all of that is a preparation for that transcendent moment when the Word of God elevates you to a place of faith that is higher. You cannot get to higher faith, and you cannot get to more productive fruitfulness without sincere, fervent worship. And what I like about what's happening here is it's more than just a praise that anybody can give. It's a true sense of worship where you are connecting. You're spending an hour or so connecting to the throne of God, so that what can flow from that throne to you is more than just truth that is heard. Because truth that is heard only is simply a religion. And then they create relics and they put the scrolls underneath protective glass so you can read about it. But we're not hearers only. It is to activate in you the power of the word so that you can be a doer beyond a hearer. Now, you can't be a doer until you hear. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But once you have heard it, you become responsible to activate it. Amen. Amen. Now, you can be religious and be disconnected from that responsibility, because in religion you are merely studying or observing the subject. But in an intimate relationship that is constantly revealing itself, you're not just observing, you're a part of it. The Bible said he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. See, I don't want to just know his acts, be sitting out there looking at what God's doing on the stage. I want to be like Moses. I want to be that behind stage. I want to be at the planning session. I want to be sitting down at the general's table, strategizing with the king. That's what Moses had. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And that's what you have. And that's what's happening. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. In the name of Jesus. I say this quite often. It becomes a, whatever you want to call it, something I hope more than a cliche, but a real phrase of faith. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you know, your destiny is greater than your dilemma. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Tell him now, this goes with it. If you've heard me preach, I've probably mentioned it before. Your trouble now is your testimony tomorrow. In Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. And I tell you what I like about what's happening. Be seated for a moment. See, that you can do that. And if I were to say, all right, shout unto God, you would. Yeah. Yeah. All right, you can be seated. See, that's what I like. You're like on a highway that you can get up to 60, 65, but you got red lights. Just because you stop at a red light doesn't mean you're going to turn the engine off. God needs us to stop at a red light every now and then to hear what he's got to say. But while we're at that red light, the devil can hear the idling engine. And it's got more rumblings than 30 cars at NASCAR. It's like... Because he knows when that thing goes green again. Praise the Lord. Woo! Yeah, Lord. I'm not supposed to be in that gear yet. Yes, Jesus. Be seated for a moment. Now, we are involved in various ministry approaches around the country, something that we're excited about that's beginning to open up more and more. We're doing what we call the Desperation Zone Encounter. In various cities we've done this. We are doing it now in relationship, in cooperation with headquarters home missions. We're going into areas, home missions churches are coming together, and then we're also doing them once a quarter in other home missions areas where it's not necessarily several home missions churches coming together, but it's for that local area. We have one planned in October in Carson City, Nevada. These are meetings that are totally sponsored by our ministry. The churches don't pay for anything. Now, the ones sponsored by headquarters, they will supply the funds for that. But we're excited about what the Holy Ghost is doing in that realm. We're going to Carson City in December. We're going to Los Angeles, California. And we'll be there doing it for 2 or 3 weeks. We are doing a part of Chicago Reach in November in Chicago, where several home missions churches are coming together. First of all, I want you to put us on your prayer list about that. Second of all, I want you to understand that the materials that we're selling is not just a one-way street. It's not just a ministry to bless you or maybe I need that or don't need that. When you buy a book, when you buy one of these CDs, you're helping support a vision. It's never been about money for me. It's been about ministry. And I told the Lord I wouldn't sell books if it was just going to be about money. Everything, I'm not selling flowers out in the lobby. I'm not going to sell you Tithe or Amway or Melaleuca. I'm going to keep my field of labor in my field of labor. And that's in the ministry. And we travel. I have a family, and I didn't bring my computer tonight. I was going to show y'all a picture of them. I'll bring it next week and put a picture of them up there so y'all can see why I smile all the time. But anyway, let me just the Impossibility Zone is book 2 in the Construction Zone series. Some of you have already purchased it. Day to Day, this is a CD that has 90 studies. These are not 2 or 3 lines of burp and a belch and have a good day. There is much, much time and research put into these studies. My opinion, I think it's hundreds of dollars worth of counseling for just $30. It's you know, people go and they'll pay a counselor $200 an hour to tell them what they already know. Just they use bigger words. The Word of God won't just tell you what you already know. It'll show you what you can never do without the Word of God. I am a firm believer in daily devotions in the Word of God. If the only time you read your Bible is when you come to church, you are malnourished in the spirit. Amen. And I can promise you that these studies, you can bring them up on your computer. These studies have meat in them. They are prayed over. There is fasting involved in this. And it's written with a burden and a passion. So keep that in mind in Jesus' name. Amen. And I would ask you again, would you put down on your prayer list praying for the vision of Danny Hood Ministries and what we're trying to do in helping churches and home missions areas? It's something we want to do once a quarter. It just kind of happens. It's getting backlogged this year. We're doing one in October, one in November, and one in December. We're very excited. We believe we're going to be able to go in with teams. We're going to believe we're going to go in with a great momentum of the Holy Ghost. It's one thing to go into a city and be in a giant civic center and preach to 5,000 to 10,000. And sometimes those that are touched by that message are kind of lost in the stuff. We're kind of thinking big by going small in terms of these home missions churches are like seeds planted in a city. If we can go in and have 15 to 20 receive the Holy Ghost and help them sign up 15 to 20, 25 Bible studies and create that next phase or gear of momentum, it's often more effective than having 200 or 300 getting the Holy Ghost in a large setting and then nobody knows where they went. So help us pray. Will you do that? Help us pray about that. Because the more intercessors that are involved, folks, intercession works. There's an energy that is developed, and it's more powerful than nuclear energy. Amen. And when you, that's why I'm really serious about what I'm talking about. I'm not just trying to be the cliched, you know, fill-in time here in the preliminary moments before the message. I'm very sincere when I'm saying, pray for us, intercede for our ministry, my family. Because I want to tell you, the ministry and apostolic preachers of this hour, whether you're an evangelist, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, an apostle, you're going to be under attack by the devil. That's why it is so important that you pray consistently, fervently, without fail for your pastor and all of his family members. And listen, I know you might not like them, but don't leave the son-in-laws out. I'm picking. Where's the son-in-laws? Raise you. Yeah. Pray for them too. In fact, pray extra for them. Oh, boy, I could really go down that road. I saw that sign. It said detour, and I'm going to take it. So, amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Praise God. I want to read a scripture quickly tonight from Genesis 26. Genesis 26. Verse number 15. Amen. Verse number 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged. Turn to your neighbor and say, can you dig it? I don't know where that came from. We're going to send that one back. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. I want to minister for a little while on what the wells were intended for. What the wells were intended for. In Jesus' name. Let's lift our hands to the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord, for being our healer. Thank you, God, for being our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. For speaking peace, God, in the most calamitous hours. You know what, folks? Hold on just a minute. Hold on just a minute. I just felt something in the Holy Ghost. I felt this very strongly. I want us to intercede for about 60 seconds. I just picked up, and it probably wouldn't take discerning of spirits just reading the paper, but I felt this in the Holy Ghost, that we need to pray against the next act of terrorism right now in America. It could be in your city. I want you to lift your hands and pray just about 60 seconds. In the name of Jesus, we bind every spirit of terrorism. We bind every demonic and malicious spirit in this age that hates America, that hates the Church of America. God, we build a wall of resistance right now. God, pull the curtain on the intention of the devil, even this week, on the intentions of terrorists this week, in the name of Jesus. And let's all say thank you, Lord. Clap your hands to Jesus. You may be seated. Praise God. Everybody, turn to your neighbor and say, hey, you're a well. That's why Jesus said, out of you, out of your belly would flow rivers of living water. Aren't you glad he didn't say reservoir? Because a reservoir is man-made. Man decides how deep and how much water gets to be in it. Open up the floodgates. But a river is God-made. God decides how much rain is going to pour into that river. And what's exciting is that a river is always looking for something bigger. That's why you can't be exhausted in the presence of God and act like you've already learned it all. Because that river in you's looking for something bigger. It's always looking for another slight revelation in the ocean of his presence. Looking for that infinite realm where the revelation of God is constantly moving. Tell me something. How do you learn everything about somebody who's been around forever? Even in eternity, when we get our glorified bodies, I believe every day we're going to get to learn something a little more about our glorious God. So that's why you should never bring your yawns to church. Bring your yearning to the house of God. Say, Lord, I'm here with my pad and pencil. I'm here to compute in my spiritual memory something about your divine nature that I've never seen before. Praise God. You may be seated. So we are in Genesis 26. There is debris to get rid of. We have Isaac digging again. The Bible said the wells of his father Abraham. The wells had become gorged with dirt and broken rocks every morning. When the rays of the sun engulfed the wells, Isaac saw the potential for a flow. But the flow was beneath the filth. And point one is, the well was never intended for filth. It wasn't intended for dirt. It wasn't intended to be stopped up. And it wasn't intended to be owned by the enemy. The well was intended to flow. You are intended to be a flowing well of faith.
whatever dirt of doubt, whatever filth of fear, whatever detritus of the past, whatever the debris of yesterday's mistakes and tomorrow's trepidation, you need to dig it up in the spirit tonight and say, I was intended for a flow.
Lift your hands to the Lord in Jesus' name. So he understood there was going to have to be a little hard work. There'd have to be a return to the principles of his father. And he knew that the wells could be healthy again. The Bible says that they stopped the wells after the death of Abraham. Notice that they didn't mess with the wells as long as the blessed man of God was alive. They waited until the patriarch was on the other side of the eternal river before they decided to act. This was an insult to Isaac. It would be an insult to these young people here tonight for the devil to think that outside of the arena of your pastor, you don't have the tenacity that it takes to keep the wells flowing, and that the enemy could think that when the pastor is not looking and when the pastor is not praying, that your wells will get stopped up. But I think you differ with that tonight. I think you have a different mindset about that tonight. I think the devil is finding out that the generation of Isaac has the same tenacity as the generation of Abraham.
You can be seated. The enemy mistakenly thought that Isaac would not fight for the wells, but he would soon find out that the bloodline was also a power line. No. You better be careful, devil, when you touch me, because it's not just the bloodline here. It's a power line. You're going to get electrocuted. You're going to get shocked about what we can do. Hey, I know you think we're young, but we are used. David was nothing but a teenager when he brought Goliath down on his back and chopped his head off. What do you think this generation of youth can do an exploit for the kingdom of God when they make up their mind, I'm going to get a shovel and I'm going to the well and I'm going to dig it up and I'm going to shout and I'm going to praise and I'm going to dance and I'm going to run and I'm going to declare the goodness of God and I'm going to testify that his word is a lamp to my feet and a light under my path.
Clap your hands to the Lord. You can be seated. So the well was intended for water, not waste. The enemy would try to make some of you think tonight that you're wasting your time by digging in certain areas. You are never wasting your time when you're digging where God has pointed to dig. It was never designed to hold dirt, but to flow with refreshing drink. We are the supply line to this generation. If we allow our wells to get stopped up, how are they going to taste and see that the Lord is good? Do you see why the enemy is working overtime to get you distracted, to keep you disturbed, to get you distorted in your doctrine? You have to rise up in faith and say, I will not lose my attraction to the cross. I will not be detoured off of this road to heaven. I will not take the troubled path of perversion, but I will continue to walk with my God day after day, because I am a well that was intended to spring with a revelation of God's presence.
Just a few more moments. Hold on. Isaac's determination was to get the wells back to the origin of purpose. Now, every now and then, the enemy's going to come along and he's going to have a shovel and he's going to take a shovel full of dirt and he's going to throw it right into your well and he's going to try to get you off your purpose. And he's going to try to get you mixed up and confused. But you get your shovel. And you say, all right, devil, We're not keeping dirt in this thing. We're getting rid of that. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to take a shortcut. We're going to go according to the origin of the word. We are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we will not compromise doctrine. Demonstrations might change, but Acts 2:38 is concrete that was poured by the word of God. And the Bible said that his word is forever settled in heaven. I don't have any questions about repentance. The word settles it. Except you all repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I don't have any questions about baptism. The word settles it. For you are buried by baptism into his death. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I don't have any questions about the Holy Ghost. The word settles it. Romans said, without the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. I better be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I better get it just like they did in the book of Acts. And every place they got it in the book of Acts, it was accompanied by the initial evidence of speaking with other tongues.
Now, let me get to a point here. Be seated just for a moment. Isaac knew he would have to contend with the marauding bands of Gerar. He would have to remain persistent in his quest for belonging. This is where the fight for the Pentecostal of this hour will become more and more intense. Hear me. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the less we will fit in our culture. And the more our culture will want us to not be around. Just like Abimelech said to Isaac, you're too mighty for us. And as long as you're hanging around, you're reminding us of how we need to live. The Bible says that the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The spirit of the Antichrist has been at work for centuries. Millenniums. It's not just something that's going to pop up on the scene when the man, the son of perdition, shows up. It's already working. But while the mystery of iniquity is working, the manifestation of truth is also working. And so we keep digging. And he knew he would have to fight. He knew at every turn the enemy would resist and hold claim. He knew that his servants would have to keep digging, blistering their hands, putting together new shovels, working in shifts, and patting one another on the back when they found a spring. But it wouldn't be easy. They dug, they found water, patted one another on the back, and then had to face the red-faced contention of the Philistines. The argumentative adversary would not let it rest. They wanted the children of Abraham out of their land. Listen closely. They became possessive of a promise they were not willing to dig up for themselves. Isn't it amazing that the religious world would look at the Jesus name people and try to treat us as though we are some occultic upstart move born out of Azusa Street and segregated from the Assembly of God in 1914. That is not the truth. Our origin is in the upper room. Apostle Peter was a one God preacher. Apostle Paul was a one God preacher. The disciples of the upper room were tongue talkers. Just because the Catholic Church in the second, third, and fourth century began to take hold of the truths and take dirt of religion and put it in the well doesn't mean that we had to settle for that message. Lift your hands and magnify the Lord for a moment.
There never has been three persons in the Godhead. There's only been one person. Hebrews 1 and 3 said Jesus Christ was the express image of that person. Literally, that means he was the only picture of God given to man ever to be seen, ever to reveal the invisibility of the glory of God. I often want to ask my Trinitarian friends, if Jesus truly, if God was a Trinity, why didn't Mary have triplets? Because the Bible said the Messiah was the expressed. He was the detailed definition of the divine. Yes, Holy Ghost. Even Tertullian, who is the father of Trinitarianism, says that his concept of the Trinity came from an actor on a stage holding three different masks. Even Tertullian was not tritheistic. He believed what we believe. Manifestations. One God, three different offices. Clap your hands to the Lord. So when you get your shovel and you start digging, I've been around folks in the religious world, especially since my book has been published. As long as you talk about talking in tongues, everything's all right. You talk about gifts of the Spirit, everything's all right. You start mentioning Jesus' name, baptism, they get contentious. I was preaching in Dangerfield, Texas, some number of years ago. And there was a whole row of folks visiting from a nearby Assembly of God church. And I went up to them, and I had my Bible open at the end of the service, and folks were getting the Holy Ghost. And I had my Bible open, and I said, hey, would you like to have a quick Bible study? And the ringleader, he was kind of like this with his arm folded, and he just kind of leaned back and poked his chest out. I wasn't intimidated because I was just there in the Spirit. And I said, well, what about this in Acts, and what about this in Luke, and what about this in John? And he kind of leaned back and he said, well, you mean tell me my grandmother that wasn't baptized that way is lost? I said, let's don't talk about what's wrong. Let's just look at what's right. And we just quickly went through. I said, what does it say here in Acts 2:38? And what does it say here in Acts 8? And what does it say here in Acts 10? And what does it say here in Acts 19? And his eyes got big and he said, well, yeah, that's right. The whole row of them got baptized. All nine of them got baptized in the name of Jesus. You know why? Because I wasn't going to make it a fight. I just got my shovel and started digging the dirt out of the well. And when I got the dirt out, they could see clearly for themselves what the well was intended for. It wasn't intended for the religion of man. It was intended for the apostolic doctrine. It is still true that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The reason is because the name of Jesus is the only name that ever related redemption to mankind. Every other name of God was too high and too lofty for man to reach. He was Jehovah Jireh. He was Jehovah Rapha. He was Jehovah Nissi. He was Adonai. He was El Shaddai. He was the Almighty. Even in the burning bush, he was Yahweh. But it was too high. That's why when Gabriel told Mary, he said, that thing which is in you, that's of the Holy Ghost. And he told Joseph, you're going to call his name Jesus. Because now the blesser has come down to be the blessing. Jehovah has become salvation. For the first time, man had an identity he could relate to. He could touch Jesus. Jesus could be touched. That's why when you are baptized, you have to take on the identity of the touchable God. Every other formula makes God untouchable. But baptism in the name of Jesus bridges and reconciles the gap between God and man. That's why the devil hates the name. Because it's more than just something to be spoken when you're praying over a headache. It is the true identity of salvation.
Praise God. Lift your hands to the Lord and let's thank God. Ooh. I've had them tell me, well, it's just a matter of semantics. Yeah, I guess. You know, you're driving down the road and there's a hairpin curve. Now you can either make a slight left or you can just go straight and plummet off the edge. But it's, hey, it's just a matter of semantics. You can either do it God's way or don't do it God's way. It's just a matter of semantics. You can either have him segregate you into the flock of sheep or put you over here in the shadows with the goats. But it's just a matter of semantics. Amen. Let's lift our hands and worship God together. I want to ask you a question. How many contenders of your faith do you find trying to take away your gift just because it was something they didn't discover? See, when you look at the text in Genesis 26, the Bible said that they didn't really start fighting with them until they found a well springing. Oh, there really is water there. Well, now we need to fight for that. Oh, but it's not yours. You can't have it, devil. It doesn't belong to you. And just because you didn't discover it or because you don't want to use it, you don't get to own it. That's called bondage. I'm coming out of bondage. I've been blessed. Let's lift our hands and worship God together in the name of Jesus. What is the well intended for? I was intended for faith, not failure. I was intended for his mercy that's everlasting, not misery that is momentary. I was intended for the blessings of God, not the curses of man. And I don't care what witch is brewing up in whatever cauldron or potion to get you poisoned with deception and seduction. If you keep the well dug up, that clean water of faith will keep flowing. Praise God. The Holy Ghost is in this house tonight to dig some things out of some folks here. And I know it would be easy to assume because you've been running the aisles and dancing, you don't need anything dug up. But I've often found that those that have the most shame shout the loudest. They're trying to fake somebody out. But God knows exactly where you are tonight. So I'm going to ask you all to be seated because the Holy Ghost is getting ready to move through here in the name of Jesus. And listen, God is not an embarrassing God. He's a builder of faith. He's a lifter up of your head. So don't be afraid of anything tonight. God's going to encourage you. And if you need to be rebuked, you'd probably be on help anyway. No, it's not really. I got your attention though, didn't I? Because you started to go, he said I was beyond help. How dare him say that? Worship the Lord one more time. Lift your hands to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Ooh, yes, Holy Ghost. Stand up, sister. You ready to be blessed tonight in the name of Jesus? You know what I'm praying for tonight? I'm praying for some folks to get an instantaneous drunk. Wouldn't that just be good? We just like to do that. Be quite honest, I'm feeling a little tipsy right now myself. Did y'all put something in the water? Oh, that's Holy Ghost stuff. Praise the name of Jesus. God, right now. Ooh, I didn't know. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Sister, when I laid hands on you, it's like I saw you running. You were running good. You're making strides. And then all of a sudden, it was like you twisted your ankle. And so there was a limp, and your progress was impeded. You're still running, but it was painful. Now, what these people don't know, that the Holy Ghost knows, because he's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, is that you've been doing what God wants you to do, but it's been painful lately. But God is going to get the running back to like it was. See, this is an edification tonight. Because the Lord sees what is prayed secretly. He's the one that begins to reward openly. In the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. When I lay hands on you, I want you to take three steps forward, and the Spirit of God is going to do its work. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes. 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 Yes, Holy Ghost. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Somebody shout unto the Lord. Somebody rise up and say, hey, my well was intended to flow with the gifts of the Spirit. My well was intended to flow with the purpose and passion of God tonight. My well was intended to be a constant revelation of the grace of God in my life. Yes, come on now. If you've been upset at somebody, if somebody offended you, you're letting the Philistines shovel dirt into your well. You need to make up your mind to transcend, get above the characteristics of Cain and say, I'm going to have the righteousness of Abel. I'm going to say, God, I want my character to be pure and true and just no matter what happens. In the name of Jesus. Clap your hands to the Lord. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. In the name of Jesus. I looked at you a moment ago, brother. Be seated. And it was like there was a rope around you. And every time you started to go in a particular direction, it's like it just yank you back. In the name of the Lord. Praise God. So there's been a hesitancy. I'm speaking against hesitancy now. In the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost says, go forward. Cut the rope. Now, man, this is strange. I see this rope attached to a tree, and I believe that's a family tree. Cut those ties. In the name of Jesus. I didn't say cut off truth. Cut the ties. In the name of Jesus. It's almost, brother, like I see it's a rotten branch coming out. Rotten branch coming out of that tree. And it's had intimidation. It's often influenced. But we're going to cut this right now. When I lay hands on you, I want you to make this motion like you've cut that, and I want you to take three steps forward. In the name of Jesus, God's going to do a work. You know what? Sometimes, and I feel like this is a word for some other people here tonight. Sometimes when you cut off the influence that's been intimidating you, the very influence they've had suddenly goes in reverse. And then when they realize that you're not being intimidated or manipulated by what they're trying to do in your life anymore, they finally break and they come to you. they come to you in an humble way. I'm telling you, I feel this in the Holy Ghost tonight. Specifically for this gentleman, but there's some others here tonight that if you feel like you need to latch hold of that word, I want you to get up on your feet and lift your hands to the Lord in the name of Jesus. In other words, there's a shift of influence. And I feel like it's family oriented more than anything. So it we'll do that specifically first. If it's other things, we'll get to that later. But if you feel like this is a word for you too, get up on your feet and lift your hands to the Lord and say, you know what? I am not going to be manipulated by that influence anymore, because God doesn't manipulate and the people of God don't manipulate. Say that. That's one of the dangers of the misuse of the gifts of the Spirit. Because anytime the gifts of the Spirit cease to edify, exhort, and comfort, and they start intimidating, manipulating, and dominating, they cross the line from the Word of God to witchcraft. Be careful of somebody, even in a congregation, that thinks they've got a word for you all the time, and yet it intimidates you, or you feel like you're being manipulated by it. You cut that source off. Because your well was not intended to be filled up with intimidation, manipulation, and domination. Those are the counter proposals of demonic influence. I don't want my influence from psychic connections, fortune tellers, or people who have a judgmental attitude all the time. Amen. Praise God. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. You feel faith in this? Praise God. I'm going to lay hands on you. Take three steps forward and let's all rejoice. In the name of Jesus. Have your way, God. Yeah. I like that one. Yeah, that's the way it should have been. Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. I'm Oshatalamabahaya. Hallelujah. Woo. Hey, do we have any aisle runners left here tonight? Do we have any dancers left here tonight? Do we have any folks who've got a well of praise springing up in your spirit tonight that said, I will not be filled up with the world. I'm going to be filled up with the Word of God. Woo! Somebody shout, do it, Jesus. Lift your hands to the Lord and worship God tonight. Ooh, God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Ah, no, I shall call Nineta. I don't know. Ooh. Well, let's just talk to him for a few minutes. Kahama. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Ooh. Yes, Lord. Lord, I'm hungry for you, hungry for your presence, hungry for your touch, God, believing, Lord, that you are true. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Feel the Lord tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Need something from him right now? Amen. Let's stand to the Lord. Stand up. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Lift your hands to the Lord right now. Thank you, God, for healing. Thank you for touching, God, for preserving.
Yes, Lord. Jesus.
Yeah, Lord. Yes, Holy Ghost. Yes, Holy Ghost. Yes. Spirit of the living God. Mm. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus tonight that cleanses the Word of God. You know what I saw when I laid hands on you? It's like you had some preserves, and somebody had taken the lid off of it, and it just rotted. I feel like the Lord's going to put a lid back on this. And what should have remained preserved in the blood, somebody's been trying to take the lid off of and bring up old things and talk about old things. We just put a lid on that tonight. Okay? In the name of Jesus. When I lay hands on you, I want you to take three steps forward and receive the word of God tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, right now, let the work of... Yes. Yes, Lord. That's it. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Come on. Would somebody shout tonight, let every liar be silenced. Come on, shout it. Let every liar be silenced. Come on, let every accuser be silenced. Come on. Come on, say, let every gossiper be silenced. Come on, the only thing we want to hear is the praise of God. The only thing we want to hear is the report of the Lord. The only thing we want to hear is the good news of what God's doing in the land. Praise God. Yes, Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, it feels good in here tonight. You just thank God. Thank you. Are y'all okay? Can we go a little farther? Clap your hands to Jesus. Where's that? You may be seated. You feel better? Amen. 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 Now, I don't always know what the Lord's telling me, but you know. Amen. That keeps me from... I don't want to know all the junk in your life. Praise God. Take the neighbor's hand next to you right now in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, my neighbor is a well intended to be blessed. Bless him, God. Now I want you to reach out and touch the person in front of you in the next row. Say, God, this is my brother or sister in God. They were intended to be blessed. Their family to prosper. Their faith to grow. Their land to increase. God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, let the name of the Lord be praised. Yes, Holy Ghost, come on. I will not be confined. I will not be imprisoned. I will not be bound up. My well was intended to flow in the name of Jesus. Be seated for a moment. Without skipping to another part, it wasn't until the third well. They dug wells, they fought, they strove, they contended. It wasn't until the third well that the enemy finally left Isaac alone. If you remain faithful in digging, the time will eventually come when the enemy will leave you alone, at least for a while in this cycle. The second well that Isaac's servants dug became opposition. This was the well dug prior to the well that would be named Rehoboth, which means there is room for us. So the thought exists, if you are facing tremendous opposition in your journey of faith, in your attempts to break through to the next level of fruitfulness, you have to be patient. That's a hard thing to do. You are about to enter the dimension of much room, the place where God expands your influence, where he broadens the borders of spiritual dominion, a vicinity no longer characterized by strife and contention. Often contention is the trump card of the devil telling you that his argumentative, accusatory stance is really about containment. In this story, the Philistines did not want Isaac to be blessed in their land. They wanted him to live over in some little corner of obscurity. But that's not what the wells were intended for. The wells were intended to spring an artesian experience that constantly flows for the thirsty traveler. God, let this sanctuary be a place of a constant flow for the thirsty traveler, where the addicted come to this altar. And they are like a man who has stumbled through the desert of bleached bones, skulls, and vultures. But he's made his way to something more than a mirage, but a true oasis of the presence of the Lord and the healing touch of God. And when they begin to drink from that well, it is not just an acknowledgement that they need God, but there's a real experience that changes their life. The thirsty traveler. Boy, I feel that. Just worship God here for a moment. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, Holy Ghost. Woo, yes. You got people traveling around from church to church. Let them come and stumble in this altar. And when they drink, let them say, oh, I finally found a home. I found my family. I'm where I'm supposed to be. They didn't serve the water over there like they do here. But thank God it's flowing here. The truth of God is flowing here. The sincerity of people really caring about one another is flowing here. The compassion of prayer warriors and intercessors is really flowing here in this house. Lift your hands to the Lord in Jesus' name. There's three things that I felt like the Lord wanted me to tell this church tonight. Number one, be encouraged by your adversaries. Scripture said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. When you enter the battlefield, realize that your enemy has given you an opportunity to optimize your faith. Don't let the unsettling contentions of darkness throw you off course. Listen closely. When it doesn't add up, put your calculator down and pick up your compass. Be led of the Spirit, because often the Lord is leading you in directions that don't add up. Get your compass of purpose out. Keep following the arrows of light, for in the end, the truth of your cause will pierce hell. This is why Paul would say in the face of his perpetual thorn, the endless quest for freedom from the messenger of Satan, I will rejoice in my infirmity. Get this, because the infirmity to Paul was a new source of information. Here I was thinking that the infirmity was telling me that God has cut me off. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I can't see him. I can't hear him. Is God talking to anybody? No, your infirmity is a new source of information, because in that pain, God is downloading into your spiritual man new purpose. God help us in the name of Jesus. That's why Dr. Philip Yancey says in his book, Where Is God When It Hurts, that faith is often believing in advance What will only make sense in reverse. You have to go forward and you begin to not say why. You start saying to what end. Because there are a lot of things that don't make sense. But when you allow the things that don't make sense to take away your sensitivity, then you become cynical and you lose your supernatural connection to God. Then you pick your calculator back up. But in the flesh, we got to put our calculator down and say, I'm tired of trying to compute it according to human reasoning. God, get the compass fixed in my spirit. Lead me, Lord. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go here. Okay, I'll go there. Yeah, I'm going here now. Because the Holy Ghost is leading according to his word. So, when you suffer next, if you're suffering now, or if you just come through extreme suffering, understand, again, you need to be encouraged by your adversary and your infirmity, because it's a new source of information. He said, Paul said, through the fellowship of suffering, I gain more knowledge about the power of his resurrection. Praise God. Praise God. Now, this is not for us to be masochistic and go out and look for somebody to nail us to a cross. You don't have to look for somebody to nail you to a cross. They're out there plentiful. Let me finish here. Number two. Number one, remember, be encouraged by your adversary. See, that doesn't calculate to the world. Be encouraged by my adversary. What are you talking about? Number two, be encompassed by angels. When you take a step of faith to do the impossible, heaven creates a margin of power around. Within the concentric circles of ethereal dominion is found the man of God who can create a vortex of apostolic demonstration. The enemy of your faith would like for you to think that you are in a repeat mode of failure. I reiterate something that I said this morning or last night, and that is when you are wandering in circles, sometimes as Israel, it was wandering because of fear. But that wandering or that circling the walls of Jericho was faith and obedience. So you are not in a repeat mode of failure. You're exactly where God wants you to be. It was human perception that caused Israel to be stranded in a steady course of futile left-hand turns. Nothing ever going right. And you may feel like nothing's going right. But the Bible said the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. If you keep your focus on the Lord, you will be encompassed by angels who will minister. God is causing angels to work even in your city for strongholds and situations that you are out of control. It's out of your control. But God is working. Thirdly, this is the most important, and this is simple but true. Be encamped at an altar. In phase one, where you're encouraged by the adversary, you obtain purpose for your problem. In phase two, you gain insight into the supernatural by submitting to God's plan. In this phase, you stay connected to the owner because God possesses us, and because he possesses us, we possess his promises. When you tie yourself to the sacrificial realm of prayer and worship, you get God's provisions. He will provide you with a map to find the treasure of your dream. He will provide you with an identity to change the outcome of your failures. Example, Jacob. Some of you need to stop calling yourself Jacob. That's the old identity. He'll catch or deceive your failure. You need to start calling yourself Israel, because that was now governed by God, a prince who hath power both with God and man. And you get that identity in the altar.
Young people are trying to find identity. Now we're in an age again where folks go through the midlife crisis. So many people in this hour are trying to find purpose and cause and meaning. You find meaning and cause and purpose most profoundly when you stay encamped at the altar. Because the altar is the place where blood is spilled. Let me end with this. When they brought the sacrifice to the altar, the only thing that proceeded from the altar was the blood, not the carcass. The carcass was taken to be burned outside the city or to be used as meat for the priests. But the blood went forward. You bring things to the altar in your flesh, but remember, the only thing that's going to allow you to go forward in life is you got to get past that altar in the blood, not in the flesh. You won't progress in the flesh. It has to be through the blood at the altar. And that place where blood is spilled, that's my contact point with heaven. And if I stay encamped at that altar, it will allow the compass in my life to stay fixed. I will always have a sense of true north. There's a lot of folks blowing with any wind that comes along, like a leaf on the breeze. And now they go over there, and then now this is sensational over here. When you have a sense of true north in your spirit, you realize, oh, I can't go after that if it don't have truth in it. Jesus said, take heed, let no man deceive you. That was his preliminary statement before he gave him the backbone of New Testament prophecy. Take heed, let no man deceive you. Before demonstration, you have to have discernment. And you can't have discernment if you don't have discipline. If you don't stay disciplined in walking with God and staying encamped at an altar, you're going to allow sensationalism blowing over here to get your attention. It's not miracles first. It's the message first. In the name of Jesus. Let's all stand. Lift your hands to the Lord. Holy Ghost. Be encouraged by your adversary. Be encompassed by angels. Be encamped at the altar. Stay encamped at the altar. I would ask the family of God quickly to come around the front for a closing word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to tell this church, I want to prophesy to you. Enemies not yet seen will soon be revealed. But as soon as they are revealed, they will be removed quickly. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's worship God together. Let's seek His face together in this altar. Lord, I come to You tonight. I seek Your face tonight. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Lift your hands and sing it. Yes.
Oh, yes, it reaches.
Oh, Lord, it reaches.
To the
highest mountain. Yes, Lord.
Oh, yes, it reaches.
Come,
it flows.